Our Old Testament reading this morning comes from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 11, verses 1 through 9. You can find this on page 627 of the Church Bibles. Let us listen for the word of the Lord. A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. What does it mean when we hope for something? We often talk about hope in all sorts of ways, about all sorts of things. Sometimes it's very casual. We hope the teacher isn't going to give a pop quiz today. We hope the light will stay green for just a few more seconds. We hope the Colts can find a running game somewhere. Well, I hope that. Maybe that's not something you share. Sometimes it's a little more serious. We hope we don't run out of gas before we get to the gas station. We hope our children are able to get into a good college. We hope that the stock market will go up this year. More than anything else, all of these sorts of hopes seem to be a kind of wish for good luck, a simple desire for good things to happen to us. But other times it feels more desperate. Other times it feels like hope is the only thing that we have when all else seems lost. We hope we find a job soon. It's been so long. We hope that we can break the cycle of addiction. We hope that the surgeon gets all of the tumor. When it's something like that, we need a different kind of hope. We need a hope that isn't mere luck or fate or chance. We need a hope that is more real. We need a hope that we can grasp, that we can count on. In our reading, Isaiah gives Israel and Judah some of that kind of hope. Look at the context here. This is the 8th century BC. It's the ascendancy of the Assyrian Empire to superpower status. Israel and Judah were being made vassal states, paying tribute to the Assyrian king, Tiglath-Pileser. And there was significant doubt that the royal line of David would continue. The beginning of the book of Isaiah doesn't hold out a lot of hope for Israel. Chapter 5 talks about how Israel and Judah have rejected the instruction of the Lord of hosts, and how he will raise up another nation to destroy them. There are many oracles about the destruction to come that is a result of the wrath of God and his judgment against the unfaithful and those in Israel who oppress the poor and the innocent. But then chapter 10 talks about a future time, about how there will be a faithful remnant of Israel who will lean on the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, about how there's a future beyond the destruction, beyond the suffering, about how there is hope. And then we get to our reading in chapter 11, and we learn more about that hope. We read of a shoot that will come out of the stump of Jesse. Remember, Jesse is David's father. This is the hope of a Davidic king, a royal Messiah. We read of a righteous judge who will decide with equity for the meek of the earth. This gives hope that the final judgment won't come through the Assyrians. We read of a wolf living with the lamb, a leopard lying down with the kid, a calf and a lion and a fatling together. This gives hope that the destruction that they saw all around them wasn't the way things are supposed to be. Isaiah gives them a word from God that in the end, things will be okay. Isaiah gives them a word from God that a Messiah, a Savior, is coming. That even if you looked around and saw nothing but destruction and suffering, nothing but a stump where trees used to be, that God would remain faithful and would deliver. By doing this, Isaiah reminds them of the God that they serve and that he is faithful all the time, even when they are not. He was faithful to Abraham in leading him out of Ur of the Chaldees. He was faithful to Jacob and to Joseph and their family in providing food for them during a famine. He was faithful to Moses and the Hebrews, leading them out of slavery in Egypt, and faithful to the Hebrews in leading them to the Promised Land. Isaiah gives them a word from a faithful God, and this gives them hope. Paul, in our New Testament reading in Romans this morning, talks about hope also. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, so that by steadfastness and by the encouragement of the Scriptures, we may have hope. He says that Christ has become a servant to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and so that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. He goes on to point to some of those scriptures in the Old Testament that give us hope, and one of them is our reading from Isaiah. The root of Jesse shall come, the one who rises to rule the Gentiles. In him the Gentiles shall hope. Paul writes, long after the Assyrians came and destroyed Israel, and he also writes after the shoot had come from the stump of Jesse. He writes after the coming of the Messiah, knowing that it is Jesus of Nazareth. So like Isaiah, Paul too gives a word from God that in the end, things will be okay. Paul too gives a word from God about the hope that we have in God. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul had hope just as Isaiah did because he had seen how the story ends for Israel. Paul's writings give us hope just as Isaiah's do because we too know how the story ends. Isaiah was in the 8th century BC, and Paul was in 1st century Rome. A little closer to our time and place is the Abyssinian Baptist Church in Harlem, in New York. This church might sound familiar to some of you. It's the church in Harlem that Dietrich Bonhoeffer spent time with in the 1930s during his time in America. And it was featured in the documentary that the Adult Sunday School just watched about Dietrich Bonhoeffer. One writer has described this church a little more recently, saying that from its Gothic spire, one could see just about anything one would want to see. Or to put it more accurately, one could see just about everything one would not want to see. Blocks and blocks of burned out buildings, shabby little pawn shops, boarded up storefronts, roach-infested grocery stores, in the shadows of which prostitutes and crack dealers plied their trades. Many churches had given up and moved elsewhere, but that church continued to hang in there, keeping watch, staying alert as if every moment mattered. They organized a locally owned bank so that the neighborhood could have a bank. They set up latchkey programs for children. They put together neighborhood redevelopment agencies, set up Bible studies in housing projects. They conducted successful boycotts against price gouging corporations. But still, it was Harlem. A newspaper reporter once interviewed the pastor of this church. "Sure," he said, as he framed one question, "you're doing great stuff, but it's hard to see the difference that you're making. So what enables you and your folks to keep going?" And Calvin Butts, the senior pastor, responded, "We've read the Bible, and we know how it ends. We aren't at the end yet, but we know how it ends. And that's what makes the difference. It's by realizing where they are in the story that they could continue. It's by knowing how the story ends that they live as a community of hope in a bleak and seemingly hopeless world. And by living as a community of hope, by proclaiming the gospel, by establishing those programs, by living out their faith, they give those around them in Harlem a reason for hope. A real, concrete reason for hope. They live as Christ's hands and feet in the world, being a witness in that neighborhood to the Messiah, to the root out of the stump of Jesse, to that Christ who has died, to that Christ who is risen, to that Christ who will come again. This kind of example should make us pause for a moment to ask ourselves a few questions. How do we here at Parkwood live as a community of hope? Do our neighbors here on 28th Avenue know about the hope that we have? How do we show? How do we live out our hope? Does how we live show how Christ is present and active in our lives, bringing about the purposes that God intends? By the way we live, do our neighbors know how the story ends? We wait and we hope. Liturgically, during this season of Advent, we wait and we hope for the coming in 3 weeks of the Christ child in the manger. But we also wait and hope for the final coming of Christ the King in final glory at the end of time. They call this an eschatological waiting, a waiting for the time when the wolf will live with the lamb, when every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. For the church, the season of Advent reminds us every year where we are in the story and how the story ends. And during this in-between time, we try to prepare ourselves to notice those signs of hope that point to how the story ends. We notice the tree out by the door filling up with gifts for children who might otherwise not receive a gift this year. That is something that God does through us. It's small, but it's a sign of hope. We notice the gift baskets that the congregational care team puts together for those of our number who can't get out to worship regularly. That's something that God does through us. Again, fairly small, but it's a sign of hope. We start to notice other signs of hope out there, too, that point to how the story ends. There are a couple clips on YouTube that have recently gone viral. One of them shows the scene at a Macy's department store in Philadelphia. Hundreds of shoppers going about their business. And then the organ begins to play a few notes. And you think, it can't be. And then all of a sudden, a large number of the folks that you thought were just shoppers join together in the Hallelujah chorus of Handel's Messiah. Have you seen this? There they are, belting out, "For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth, King of kings and Lord of lords, and he shall reign forever and ever." Turns out that hundreds of singers organized by the Opera Company of Philadelphia had come together to commit what they called a random act of culture. There's another clip of a similar thing in a food court at a mall in Canada, and events like this are really moving to watch. Seeing the looks on people's faces as they do nothing but receive and enjoy this gift. And though many of the singers may not intend them this way, dare I say, these are signs of hope pointing to the day when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Christ is Lord. It's the kind of thing that Advent trains us to see in the proper light, to see where we are in the story, to give us hope while we wait, to see that God is still present amid the stumps of our own lives. As one author put it when writing about Advent, centuries have passed and the end of days has not come. But the season of Advent is the time when the church chooses to keep alive the hope that God is not finished, either with creation or with human history. That God is present and active in our lives and in the life of the world to bring about the purposes that God intends. It is a real hope. It doesn't mean that we get all our wishes and our wants. The good things will always happen to us. If Isaiah and Paul are any guide, it doesn't mean that we'll be able to avoid our share of suffering. But it does mean that we know how the story ends. And that indeed does make all the difference. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.